David Fizdale. He is out as head coach.
Knicks owner James Dolan pulling the plug on Fiz just 18 months into his four-year, $22 million contract.
Stop me if you've heard this before. The New York Knicks are in disarray. The firing of coach David Fizdale is just the latest in a series of missteps that have defined the organization for years. Today, a behind-the-scenes look at the madness in Madison Square Garden and why, despite all evidence, it's still the one place every NBA coach and executive swears they'll be able to fix. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, December 11th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Ramona, hi.
What's up, Mina?
So, Ramona, you've got an article out today, along with our Adrian Wojnarowski, that gives you a behind-the-scenes look at the Knicks' latest coaching casualty, David Fizdale. You saw the writing on the wall last month. What happened?
So, 10 games into this season, Steve Mills, who's the president of the Knicks, and Scott Perry held this press conference, which can only be described as bizarre.
Ramona Shelburne is a senior NBA writer for ESPN.
It was not scheduled. They just decided after a game where they lose to the Cavaliers, they just decided to hold a press conference.
Just out of curiosity, what spurred you guys to address us in this fashion? Because it's rare for it to happen.
We're not happy with where we are. This is not where we expected to be at this point in, 10 games in. And we just felt like we had an obligation to do that.
My understanding is David Fizdale, the coach, didn't even know this press conference was happening. He went to do his own media session after the game, like all coaches do. And they're down the hall having this press conference. I don't think there was really a point other than to say we're not happy with where we're at a bunch of times, and which really should have been obvious.
Obviously, Scott and I are not happy with where we are right now. We think the team's not performing to the level that we anticipated or we expected it to perform at, and it's something that we think we collectively have to do a better job of delivering.
Once they had this press conference, it was like, okay, Fiz is on the hot seat, how long is this going to be? Because as soon as you do a press conference like that, you've marked him for destruction, and the only time, and it's only a question of when.
So at this point, it sounds like Fizdale's a dead man walking.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think Fizz knew it, too.
Are you worried this is going to fall on you, ultimately?
I don't care about all of that. I don't even think about that, really. I think about the next team we're playing. I think about the guys in the locker room and how I can help them. At the end of the day, that's all I care about.
As soon as you have that press conference and the way it was done, how it was done, everybody and their mother knew it was Jim Dolan who put them up to it, right? And that's coming straight from ownership. So you know at that point the clock is ticking and it's only a matter of when. We were all on high alert looking at their schedule saying, okay, right before that Denver game, there was a three-day break. And I remember talking with Adrian Wojnarowski at the time saying, if they're going to fire him, you would do it before that Denver game, right? But of course they don't. And the team goes out and loses by 37, and it's ugly.
Nuggets come to MSG and win it over the Knicks tonight by a final score of 129-92.
Fizz has a meeting. It's after the game. The way it's been described to me is that it was very clear after that meeting that there was just no way forward. And at one point, he even says to them, I understand if you think that, moving on is the best thing for the team and the franchise. It's not like he was saying, I want you to fire me, but he was like, I don't blame you. I understand. And I think at that moment, that sort of scene of him with his head down, talking like that, being absolutely exasperated and broken by this whole experience, it became clear they just really couldn't continue.
But then the next morning, Fizz still has the job.
I don't know why they waited until after practice to do it. Maybe they were evaluating him to see if that was just a bad night or a bad moment. Maybe they just needed some time to get their ducks in a row. I don't know. But they waited until practice the next day to officially fire him.
The Knicks have fired David Fizdale as a coach after two of the worst performances you'll ever see. They became just the seventh team in history NBA history to lose back-to-back games by 35 points or more.
Fizdale was hired in May of 2018, which actually, Ramona, it feels like it's been less time that he's been with the Knicks. So I guess that's longer than some. But what was it like when he came in? What were the expectations for him and the team?
Well, I think what was, you know, sad when you look back on this is, you know, they were so well positioned. I mean, he's got Kristaps Porzingis, who, you know, is dealing with injuries and stuff, but he was, you know, Fiz is excited to coach Porzingis. I mean, this is the unicorn. This is a great young player. They were really well positioned for free agency. It was sort of an open secret in the league that the Knicks were the favorites to land Kevin Durant. And, you know, pairing those two together would have just been an absolute dream. Fiz was a guy that was in demand everywhere. I mean, every team that had an opening, whether it was Atlanta or Milwaukee or Charlotte, they all wanted to talk to Fizdale. He probably could have had any of those jobs. He actually just wanted the Knicks job.
So they bring in Fizdale, and there's this thinking that perhaps his connection to stars might help them go after some of the big fish in free agency. Ultimately, what happens this summer?
So the Knicks and their fans, well, they have this vision that they could end up with Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. It's like too good to be true, of course, right? But there was a minute there. What, going into the lottery, they have the best chance to get the number one overall pick. They think they've got max cap space for Kevin Durant. They feel like they're so well positioned, but they've got to win the lottery. Not only don't win the lottery, they don't even get the second pick in the lottery, which would have got them a guy who I think is probably going to end up as the rookie of the year, Ja Morant. Covering the league the last 10 years, Mina, the one thing that I will say is when you construct a super team, when you construct any team that you think is going to have a chance to win a championship, you have to get one star first. Usually you get that star through the draft or a trade. But if you don't have one star to build around, it's very hard to get another star to come in free agency. And I think that's where the Knicks found themselves this summer.
Coming up, why, despite years of futility, the Knicks are the one opportunity coaches and executives can't seem to pass up. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. In the piece, you call the team a siren, which, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with mythology, I believe the sirens are the goddesses that trick people into crashing into the rocks. Am I getting that right?
Most of us know the Greek mythology of it. The idea is that, you know, you're a sailor, you're out at sea, and you hear these beautiful women singing to you from the cliffs at this island off in the distance. And you just follow the sound of their voice. And by the time you finally get there, you realize they're not singing you to this beautiful land of milk and honey, this home that you thought that you were going to build. You just crash into the rocks and die. It's a perfect metaphor for the New York Knicks.
So what has happened in the past to the sailors who have followed the siren's call of Madison Square Garden?
There's been 14 coaches in the last 20 years. who have taken this job, and they all come in with like great reputations. People take the job feeling like, you know, I'm going to be the guy, right? Mike D'Antoni was the guy who led the Phoenix Suns to that incredible run. And then Mike D'Antoni goes to New York and everything goes horribly. It's like he's in a mess with Carmelo Anthony. There's meddling from Jim Dolan from the front office. He's never really able to run the system that he was brought there to run. I think that's what's so hard for Knicks fans is that they have legitimacy staring them in the face all the time, and they just can't make it happen. And I guess it's because I'm in babyland that this is my first image that came to mind, but we go to this playhouse with my son, and there's like a mural on the wall, and there's like this doggy, and he always runs over the doggy, and he's like, wants to like wrap his arms around the dog because he loves dogs, but it's just a painting, and he can't do it. It's not a real dog. And like, I kind of think that's what it is like for the Knicks and legitimacy. Like, there's all these people and you see it, but it never comes to life. It's just the mural on a wall. It's not a real dog.
Oh my God. Weirdly, it works, Ramona.
It does right?
Make sense. So the painting is legitimacy. The baby is the Knicks.
Yeah.
I don't know who Jim Dolan is in this metaphor, but he does appear to be the common denominator in all of this misery, right? Over two decades since he's been the owner, New York has the worst winning percentage of any team in the NBA. I mean, is he just purely the through line in all of this coaching misery?
Yeah, it's a through line. And like, I think what's hard for Dolan to understand is that he actually has stopped meddling as much. He has stayed out of it. He's off playing with his band. His focus is not entirely on the Knicks right now, which if you're a Knicks fan, that's good. Right? Like, you don't want Jim Dolan completely focused on the Knicks. You want him to be focused elsewhere. But he can't quite step all the way away. And in those moments where he does reinsert himself into the conversation and into what the Knicks are doing, it has this effect of ruining everything, right? So the radio interview where he goes and boasts about how, you know, we hear stuff around the league.
And we hear from people all the time, right? From players, from, you know, representatives. It's about who wants to come. Mm-hmm. We can't respond because of the NBA rules, et cetera. But that doesn't stop them from telling us.
Right.
They do. And I can tell you from what we've heard, I think we're going to have a very successful offseason when it comes to free agents.
It killed them. They're still recovering from this idea that they completely oversold their chances in free agency and totally underdelivered. Like, their expectations were so wild. In free agency, they have a chance to go get Kevin Durant. He's injured. And instead of just saying, we love you, Kevin, no matter what, you got a 5-year max offer, Jim Dolan says, I've been burned before on these injuries. You know, I'm still paying for that Amari Stoudemire thing. And he doesn't allow Scott Perry and Steve Mills to offer him the 5-year max. Now, you and I both know that he probably goes to Brooklyn anyway. But you don't even get a meeting if you're not willing to offer the max contract. Then this year, 10 games in, his front office is like, you know, it's 10 games in, you don't go hold a press conference like this. But Jim Dolan says, get out there, show a sense of urgency. And it just starts the clock on Fizdale and completely destabilizes the franchise. These are not big acts, but they are important ones. And they're the common through line and denominator of why even when he's trying to stay out of it, he simply can't help himself. And whenever he touches it, whenever he goes back in, it all falls apart.
Mike Miller gets the extreme privilege of stepping up as the next sailor. What is he stepping into here?
You know, they played well for him the first night. He's been in that chair before. He's seen as a good X's and O's guy, whatever. But he walks in and I think the question is, does he get to keep the job for the rest of the year? And that is a really important question, Mina, because Steve Mills and Scott Perry are now on the clock. That was why they didn't want to fire Fizdale. They were trying to give him every opportunity to turn this around because, you know, if the heat's coming, might as well let it be on the coach. But once you fire the coach, the heat's coming on you. Like, nobody's going to blame Mike Miller. Like, he's just the guy who's walking in there and keeping the seat warm. But now it's about, is this the right front office? Is this the, do they have the right combination of executives? Can these guys rebuild it? So does Jim Dolan let them hire a new coach? I mean, there's plenty of people in New York who would love Mark Jackson to get the job right now. And in a lot of ways, that would win the press conference, and maybe that would buy them another year or two to get the roster better. But that's also a fundamental question. Did they just buy themselves a year, or is the clock started on them?
So, Ramona, if it's unlikely Mike Miller is going to be the long-term solution, who is the next painting of the dog on the wall that the Knicks are staring at and hoping is real?
So I think really it's Masai Ujiri, and it's probably always been Masai Ujiri. Whenever there's a front office opening, his name comes up. And the reason being is the guy has charisma for days. He has a proven track record of winning in a place that's really hard to win. I mean, you know, Toronto's a great city, but it's hard to get free agents there. It's hard to build a winner there unless you have a great organization from top to bottom. And I think we saw the culmination of his executive talents last year when the Raptors won the title. The only question, though, is really, well, there's two. Would Masai Ujiri really want that job? There's a sense that he would have an interest just because the reason everybody has an interest in that, it's the biggest challenge in all of sports. And if you know Masai Ujiri and his background, I mean, he's a guy who embraces challenges. However, he has a really good thing going in Toronto, and he can keep doing that for the rest of his career. They'll keep funding his charities in Africa. He has a great global platform already. Why mess things up? The second question, which I think is probably the most important question overall, is Jim Dolan finally ready to give the kind of autonomy to an executive that it takes to truly turn things around? That is a fundamental question. He's come so close. He wants to. You can see he wants to, but he just can't help himself sometimes. Maybe they'll stick with the current front office. Maybe they'll go hire Mark Jackson for the rest of the year, or they'll hire him in the offseason. We'll see if that's the guy who can save New York. There's certainly a lot of people in New York who would be happy about that. But the next big name is Masai Ujiri.
Thanks, Ramona.
You got it.
Coming up, the Patriots are being accused of spying on the Bengals. But why would they? Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection. Here's another story I want you to know. Unless you've been living under a rock for the past couple of days, you've probably heard about the latest scandal, and I use that term generously here, involving the New England Patriots. First, there was Spygate, then there was Deflategate, now there's Spygate 2. All Hollywood does is reboots these days, am I right? Anyways, here's what we know so far. On Monday, Bengals coach Zach Taylor was asked at a press conference about a New England Patriots videographer taping his sideline from the press box. Later, the Patriots released a statement saying the videographer was gathering footage for an online video about one of their advanced scouts. They said it was totally innocent, but acknowledged he shouldn't have been taping the sideline.
Look, we're competitive, and we'll try to be competitive in every area, but I mean, we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that's across the line. But since that's happened, I'd say we've tried to keep a good distance behind the line and not maybe take it as far as we would might have in the past. But it's never really fundamentally changed there.
Now, setting aside the inherent comedy of the 10-3 New England Patriots allegedly cheating off the 1-12 Cincinnati Bengals, which is kind of like if Aaron Sorkin plagiarized the script for Sharknado, I do have a question.
To what end? On both sides of the ball, play calls are radioed in now. In the wake of Spygate Episode 1, the NFL allowed a single defensive player to wear a helmet with audio. Now, that doesn't mean coaches don't make adjustments on occasion. Infrequently, offensive coordinators do use hand signals to convey last-minute adjustments. Earlier this year, some Saints players actually said they figured out what Dallas coordinator Kellen Moore was doing by watching his college tape. And on defense, coaches will sometimes send signals in response to offense's adjustments. My friend Dominique Foxworth pointed out to me that the Patriots are especially good in no huddle, which might compel coordinators to use hand signals against them. But would such a rare occurrence be worth a long con? We'll probably never know. The Patriots have said the videographer had nothing to do with their football operations, and unless there's a smoking gun, I don't see this one dragging out for very long. But if New England destroys the Bengals on Sunday, we'll know why. Just kidding, it's because they're the Bengals. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.